voice the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You can have a seat.
Good morning. I'm freezing. I'm going to like shake so I can warm up. I'm so cold. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. That's much better. I'm so glad that you are here. I'm glad that I get to be here to share with you today. Before I get started, though, I want to share a couple of other things to remind you of them. It's funny because I was actually scheduled to do this like a month ago before all of this happened and we found out about Pastor Wayne. And I told him, I said, you know, you always start your sermons with a joke. And so the last time that I was up here, I told you that I was not going to be up here again because I was not planning on being up here again. And so I guess today's joke is on me because here I am, you know. But so I'm here today. I was actually scheduled to be here today. I don't have jokes like Pastor Wayne, so sorry for all y'all who are really looking for a good cheesy joke this morning. But he has, as most of you all know that were here last week, he shared with the congregation of this new diagnosis that he has, of this journey that he is going to be on, that we will have the privilege to sort of come alongside him and be a part of his community as he goes on this journey. And so it's going to look a little different. And in the meantime, while we sort of don't know what's going on, just so you're aware, I will plan on being ready every Sunday to share, but he's the one that's hopefully going to be here. And so it'll sort of be like, if he can't be here, I will sort of step up and share with you. And so I thought, you know, he has this blog post type thing. So if you don't know about it, if you didn't get an email, posthope.org is where you can go to learn and to read about what's happening with Pastor Wayne. He is going on there and sharing updates, and he is sharing, you know, what all is going on, how he feels. You can go and you can post comments, or you can, you know, send him a note, or just let him know that you're praying for him or you're thinking of him. But it's posthope.org, and you'll have to, I guess, search or put his name in. And then there's a password. And the password, I sort of hate to say it, is Roll Tide. One word, lowercase. So to get in on all the Pastor Wayne goodness, you'll have to, and he says, he was here the first service, he's like, and you have to say it when you type it, Roll Tide. So you can go and you can check that out. But people are posting jokes there. So I said, maybe I'll like pull a joke off of his page so that the Sundays that I am up here, I'll be able to share with you a little of the Pastor Wayne goodness and some of his cheesy jokes that he likes to share. So he's not here, so I can call him cheesy since he's not here this service. But anyway, if you want to keep updated on what's going on with Pastor Wayne, that's where you can go do that. And then like I said, we will plan on him being here every week. But for some reason, if he can't be here, then I will be here at least in the next, as we're figuring sort of out how this is going to go. But today, in this, we're on this in this series of Kingdom Come, and we're in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 30. And in the scripture today, we have this man, this rich young man, who's having this conversation with Jesus. And it sort of reminds me of how we talk sometimes here, where we're like, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask. Or when I see those pearly gates, this is the first thing that I'm going to say. You know, why do good things happen to bad people? Why did this have to happen to me? Or for me, like one of the questions that I have is, you know, why was I lucky enough to be born here when we have brothers and sisters that are born into third world countries in poverty? It's like you get one question, make it count. And so this man, he gets the opportunity to ask his one question while he's still living with Jesus in the flesh. And his question is, how do I get eternal life? And so Jesus responds to him, and Jesus says, well, obey the commandments. And the man says, well, which ones? And Jesus says, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the man says, well, I've done all of these. What do I still lack? Sort of here it is, you know, where the rubber meets the road. This man is saying, you know, give it all to me. Lay it all out. Tell me everything. Make it simple. Give me the list or the check boxes. And it makes me think, sometimes are we not like this? Do we not want this? It's like a recipe for soup. This man is asking for ingredients and step-by-step instructions. He wants to make sure that he does everything and follows it exactly. Unfortunately, I can sometimes be like this. I have this friend, and she's a really great cook. And she'll make, like, the best food. It's so tasty. And she never, ever uses a recipe. And it drives me mad. I'm like, can you please just tell me what you put in this and how much of the things that you did? You know, like, just tell me what's in there. How do you do this? And she's like, oh, I just open up my fridge, and I just look and see what's in there, and I'll throw a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I'm like, just send me the recipe. That's all. Like, just send me the recipe. Use the recipe. I want to follow it to a T. I want to make sure that it's exact. I want to make sure that I don't forget something, that I haven't skipped something. That I know that when I do this, I'm going to get the results that I want. Nothing more and nothing less. And so after this man is talking with Jesus and he asks Jesus, what else? Jesus responds and he tells him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Sometimes we read the Bible and it can be very easy to read things like this and apply one situation to all of our lives. How we can be taking things out of context or think that this one singular event was meant to be replicated for everybody. How we get to sort of be a fly on the wall in these situations. And so follow me here for a minute. He's not here, but he was, and I want to like point because that's where he like sits. So if Pastor Wayne had someone who was writing a book about him, they were following him around for months or years about, you know, this memoir about his life and love of Alabama football and all the other things, you know, they would see him having all of these different type of encounters with people. They could see one of me, which this should not surprise you. I would come to him and say, Wayne, like, I need help with Drew. You know, it's hard. It's so hard, and you have boys, and you're older, and you're wiser, and you've been there, and you've done that. Can you please just give me some advice? And Wayne, knowing Drew and knowing me, would give advice that would work for us. Whereas Bethany, a friend of mine, she has a boy that's about the same age, but that's a completely different child than Drew. And so if she went to Wayne for advice, Wayne, knowing Bethany, knowing Porter, would not give her the same advice that he gave me. It's not a one-size-fits-all a lot of times. And so Wayne is not like that, and Jesus isn't either. And so when we read these stories from the Bible, we need to remember this, that Jesus is telling this man to sell everything. But he's not asking us to leave here today and to go sell everything as well. He knows this man, and he knows that for whatever reason, this is what this man needs to do. Maybe this man is worried too much about possessions and materialistic things, worldly things. And that shows because the very next verse in this passage says that the man walked away sad because he had great wealth. When I was reading this passage and studying, I sort of got caught off by how Jesus responded to him when he said, if you want to be perfect. And there was something about perfect that just sort of struck me. And so I decided to sort of, you know, look a little more into it and dig into it further. And I found that here, perfect means complete. And so Jesus was asking this man, if you want to be complete. Jesus knows the man. He knows that the man's wealthy. He knows that the man knows all of the laws. He didn't even respond with all of them when he mentioned them earlier. But he also knows that this man is trying to live in two different places. He's trying to live in the world with the worldly values of materialism and looking out for yourself and your wants. But the man's also trying to live in the kingdom with kingdom values of loving God and loving your neighbor. Jesus is saying, if you want to be complete, You need to put both feet in my kingdom. You can't straddle the line. You can't be both. You have to be all in. And for this man, all in was to let go of his wealth. The man is sad. And I wonder, you know, how many of us are like this? How many of us are trying to sort of straddle this line? We know we do what we know we need to do. We check the box. But we still look out for ourselves and try to live the way that the world is telling us to live. I can follow the commandments. Check, check, check. But nothing more and nothing less. Even though I know that there are times that I need to do or give or share more for the kingdom. After Jesus meets this man and has this conversation with him, he follows by talking with his disciples, and he says, "It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle." And then they sort of go back and forth a little bit more, and he goes down and further, and he says, "Those who have left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." Y'all, this is some pretty serious stuff here. I joke about this, but it's true. Like, this isn't some Marie Kondo stuff where we're getting rid of all of our excess. You know, he's not saying take all your extra shoes and all your extra books and all your extra clothes and all that extra stuff that's taking up space in your house. No, these are significant things. These are the main things: relationships, property. Things that don't just impact the giver necessarily, but there are other people who are going to feel this as well. For us today, it can be a little easy to want these check boxes, to want the tidy and the safe and the convenient, to want to live in the world and want its values. But Jesus is telling us to stop. He's saying, do the hard things, and the reward is so much greater. It is so worth it. The world, it screams at us to want quick and easy and convenient. I mean, we live in a world of fad diets and microwave dinners where you can take a pill or drink a concoction and your pounds will just magically fall off. And I mean, I'm all about a microwave dinner, so don't think that I'm being judgy, because I'm not. Because let's be honest, anything that I can cook in the microwave, it saves time and it gets the job done, so I'm all about it. But if we were to be really truthful, we can admit that the fad diets and the magic pills, they don't work long term. We stop taking them or drinking them, and the weight is going to come back full force and bring some with it. The microwave, it may get the job done, but the food, it tastes so much better, and it is so much better for us if we take the time to cook it. If we actually do the hard work of changing our lifestyle or prepping and cooking the meal, the results are longer lasting, they're more fulfilling, they're greater. This is what Jesus is telling us to do. The world tells us that we need to worry about ourselves and making our lives easier. But Jesus says no. His values, kingdom values, they take work. Sometimes a little sacrifice, a lot of love and grace. They are about loving God and loving your neighbor. It's not clean, and it's not super fast. It is really messy, and it can take time. The last verse of this passage today is a familiar one, and it says, "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Talk about an about face for us today. Talk about, you know, different values in a world where we are constantly being bombarded with ideas of how to, you know, put ourselves first, to make our lives better, to climb these ladders of success. Jesus is telling us to stop. Don't worry about putting yourself first. Put your neighbor first. Don't worry about climbing this ladder of success. Worry about how you can serve and love his people. We see this a lot. I see, you know, people who are putting the world and its values first. Their sole focus is themselves. And whether it should be or not, I think a lot of times this is who the world would tell you are the first. And then those that the world tells us are last, they are the ones that I tend to see putting others above themselves. They get community. They get truly serving and loving your neighbor. As I've shared in the past, and I know that you all are tired of hearing about it, and so maybe next time I won't talk about it. I don't know. It just depends. I go to Hotel Inc. like every week. I've done it for years. And I go and I sit and I laugh and I cry and I make fun of and I joke around with my friends down there. And over the past 2 years of going, I have learned a ton about myself, about people, and about who the world says are last. And one thing that I have learned is that my friends down there, they get it. They get it so much better than we do most of the time. I think that living in poverty has taught them something that most of us haven't had to learn. I have observed how they tend to get giving and sacrificing and loving in a way that we just don't. You know, while I'm there, I regularly see people who have nothing or very little give away what they do have. Someone who will literally pick up cigarette butts up off the street to try to get one last drag off of a cigarette today, I may see them next week and they may have one cigarette left and they will give it to a friend. Someone who has to search for where their next meal is going to come from will turn around and give someone a snack or whatever they have to eat if someone says that they're hungry. Someone who lives outside in the elements will give their toboggan, their shirt, their poncho, whatever it may be, to a friend who says that they need it. Done yet? And I said, no, we're not there yet. It was like early in the summer, so that we were nowhere near landscaping. But I was like, no, we're not done yet. Why? Why do you ask? And he said, well, I've worked for 3 different landscaping companies, and I would love to help you if you need it. And I was like, oh, well, that's awesome. Like, that's nice. You know, so we kept talking about it, and we were going back and forth. And somehow or another, we got to payment, and he said, oh, you don't have to pay me. This is what we do for one another. Y'all, somebody who lives on the streets, who is scraping by money just to be able to afford a night in a crappy motel to get out of the elements, is willing to do this work for me for free, because that's just what we do. These beautiful people are who the world deems last. These are people who truly love their neighbors as themselves. And these are the people who Jesus is talking about when he says they will be first. Jesus says, no, they get it. They will be first. They are first. Now, I'm not saying that you have to live in extreme poverty to understand kingdom values, because you don't. I see other folks that do it all the time. But I am saying that I see this one verse lived out with my friends at hotel probably than any other place. Earlier in the sermon, I mentioned how we can look at some of these encounters that Jesus and God has throughout the Bible from the very beginning, and we're getting sort of this bird's eye view of these one-on-one conversations and how sometimes they were meant just for the people that they were having the conversation with, not for us to replicate it. But I also believe that there are themes or things that have been said from the very beginning over and over and over and over again to make sure that we are picking up what they put down. When I first found out I was going to preach this sermon, and I was talking with Wayne about it, and we were going back and forth, and I told him, I said, Wayne, every time I get up there, I talk about the same thing, like every single time. And he was like, you do, you know? And I was like, okay. He's like, but that's what you're supposed to do, you know? But the reason is, and it's true, and the reason is that one of the themes, the laws, the commandments, the truths that are repeated over and over and over again throughout Scripture is to love your neighbor. Almost everything falls back on this. When we love our neighbor, we are putting someone else's needs above our own. We are taking the back seat to fame and to glory and to power. We are making ourselves smaller to build other people up. This doesn't make sense to the world that we live in. The world is actually screaming at us and telling us to do the opposite. But this is what Jesus tells us to do over and over and over again, to show up for his people. He He says that it's not going to be easy or fast or convenient, that it's going to be way harder and way messier, and it's going to take time, that we have to do the work, but that the result will be so much greater and it will last so much longer. You know, Wayne taught us all through Advent and actually the first 3 weeks of this year, two things that we were supposed to remember from Advent. One is what? Jesus is King. Very good. And the second is that the kingdom is here and now. Jesus is telling us that this kingdom values things that the world does not. He's telling us that we all get in, but not in the way that the world tells us that we do. And he's telling us that worldly values are not the same as kingdom values. And he tells us that we need to be all in with both feet. Let us pray. God, we come to you in a world where we are constantly being told how we need to focus on ourselves. And God, we're just thankful that you have these reminders and that you have told us over and over and over again that we are here to love our neighbors, to love you, to be in this community with one another. And so as we leave here today, as we go throughout this week, help us to quieten the noise of what the world is telling us we need to be, we should do, and help us to remember that we're here to love you and those that you put around us. It's in your beautiful Son's name we pray. Amen. As we come to a time of communion, it's interesting because this sermon today sort of reminded me of something, how Jesus says that, you know, we are all in, but not in the way the world tells us to be. And this idea and this theme of being told something or hearing something over and over and over again. A lot of you probably know this, that I've been here at this church now as a member of the congregation for about 10 years. I think it'll be 10 years next month maybe. And I started out and I sat in that back corner over there. I was a back rower. And then I moved up here and I sat in front of this window for several years. And then I moved up here in this front row with Wayne and Jeremy. And over the years, the one thing that has been repeated in this church is that all are welcome to this table. And so today I want us to remember that and to be reminded that we are all welcome to come and to receive this love and this grace that Jesus has to offer for us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light, and our salvation. In his baptism and in table fellowship, he took his place with sinners. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Those that are going to help us with communion can come on up. I'm super excited to share with you all today. It's going to be a special time for communion. As Pastor Wayne has said many times, like, you can't mess up communion. You know, this table is open to everyone, no matter if you're a member of this church or if you're a member of any church. And so we remind you that today, as you all, you can come right here, as you all get to come and you get to be served by these beautiful people, it reminds us that we are all welcome and that we all belong. And so, here you go, Miss Cora. I'm pretty jazzed about this, if y'all don't know.